The following hour is brought to you by Midas Resources, your trusted source for precious metals. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
Evidence will not show that he intended to provide material support to ISIS. The evidence will show that he's a very sincere and dedicated person, and it'll show a lot of things, but I don't think it's going to show that he was providing material support to terrorists.
All right, that's Timothy Durkin talking about the teenager in Illinois who was stopped and the debate over what we will or will not find out as a result. He was someone who was caught red-handed. He was going to hop, skip, and jump over to the Boys in Black and be part of their group. But there are still pieces of information that we don't know yet. At this point, I want to know, as exactly was said there, how deep it goes. Hey, everybody, we're going to go deep in this hour of America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. We start with ISIS and the fact that there's a big argument with Homeland Security, Jay Johnson, and a congressman who says, don't tell me that we haven't had some ISIS people come through. We have. And Johnson says that that's misinformation, misleading, and wrong to put it out there and criticize the Border Patrol agents and saying that they're letting the ISIS folks slip through. That simply is not true. According to my sources, that is true, that they believe a few people have come through and they don't even know how many, and they're not quite sure at what level we're talking about, but that they have a belief that that has happened. So isn't that interesting? Congressman Duncan Hunter was the criticizer, the California Republican, who said that he'd learned from the Border Patrol themselves that at least 10 ISIS fighters were caught trying to come across the Mexican border, and that they think that there was others that didn't get caught. Homeland Security Secretary has this kind of, Jay Johnson has his back, I think, up against the wall, and he said he didn't like those claims because he said they weren't credible, specific intelligence to the effect, and it's not a responsible thing to share that with the public. So the public should be informed correctly. Oh, since when? Jay Johnson is wrong about that. Since when is the top concern informing us correctly? I'm going to say no. The top concern is not informing us. He has his wires crossed, I think. In the meantime, this is interesting on ISIS. You might be surprised by that if you're a Democrat or a Republican, but the former president, Jimmy Carter, who turned 90 in the beginning of October. Wow, can't believe it, 90. He said that President Obama waited too long to go after ISIS, and he criticized the changing foreign policy. He said, we waited too long. We let the Islamic State build up its money, capital, strength, weapons, while they were still in Syria. He said that when ISIS moved into Iraq, the Sunni Muslims didn't object to their being there, and about a third of the territory in Iraq was abandoned. So isn't that interesting? Carter, in fact, argued it would be strategic to have troops on the ground in Syria to help them guide the air campaign. But he said the president has pledged that the United States wouldn't send troops into the country. So Carter said you have to have somebody on the ground to direct the missiles and to be sure you hit the right targets. Then you have to have somebody to move in and be willing to fight ISIS after the strikes, which is true, which is the whole idea that, oh, yeah, we're going to arm the Syrian rebels and train them, and then that's what's going to happen. But good for Carter for not playing for the home team. And I guess he's kind of known for that. Sometimes he backs up some of the Republican ex-presidents and things that are said, and in this case he couldn't stand by Obama because he too thinks he dropped the ball on ISIS and let it get stronger and bigger. And in the meantime, while all this is happening, the airstrikes, the coalition, the debates over, okay, where's all this funding coming from? How long are we going to be there? You have this from Rear Admiral John Kirby. I like this guy. I don't think he gets the Pentagon speak, but he says the U.S. strikes, the airstrikes, aren't going to save the key Syrian city of Kobani from being overwhelmed by ISIS. He said, I think we should all be steeling ourselves for that eventually. He said, we're doing everything we can to halt ISIS against the town, but airstrikes can't stop the Islamist militants. To Carter's point that we should have had somebody on the ground, because we don't, how are we stopping them? We don't have any ground forces, and you only can do so much in the air. The ground forces that matter the most are indigenous ground forces, and they don't have a willing, capable, effective partner on the ground inside Syria, and that's what Kirby's saying. So that the best that the strategy is to degrade ISIS, their ability to sustain themselves, and that's it. And they're downplaying the importance of saying, you know, the city is not a major U.S. concern, Kobani. Well, what about the people in that city? Hopefully they are all driven out of it. A truck bomb driven by ISIS exploded near the center of that town. Two people and a fighter inside the city said it was huge and that the target was a security forces building, and that's why they tried to hit it. So there's some problems that we can see. Problems in the strategy, problems in stopping ISIS without anybody on the ground, and then relying on, as Kirby says, indigenous troops, which was probably the problem from the beginning, certainly to be sure. In a couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about election results, and hopefully you're going to go out there and vote, because there's nothing worse than not voting. If more people would exercise their right to vote, especially in a race for Congress, either chamber of commerce or local races, any of that, I think you really can make a difference. And I've stood on the bully pulpit before and said that you should exercise that right, because there's so many ways to vote. Absentee ballot would have been good, or a weekend vote or whatever. There's ways to vote. And if enough people are disenfranchised, don't like who's there, you can get them out. You really, really can. Mary Landrieu is hanging on by her fingernails. And in fact, the senator from Louisiana has replaced the campaign manager. This was one bold stroke, less than a month until election day. She's changing people. It's just shaking up the staff altogether, bringing in somebody new and calling up former and current Senate staffers to help her push back the challenge from two Republicans in the primary style election. Landrieu faces odds that keep slimming, that she'll win 50% of the vote to avoid a runoff election, which would be disastrous. And Ryan Burney, who ran her brother, the New Orleans mayor, Mitch Landrieu's reelection campaign earlier in the year, is now the person who's in charge of her campaign, thinking that this will make a huge difference. I think she is absolutely one of the dominoes that could fall for the Democrats, and they don't want to go into a runoff situation. She may narrowly still win back that seat. We'll see. It's going to be interesting the next couple of weeks, and then ultimately election day. Stay with us. Much more to come here on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. choices, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Adam Miller here with Midas Resources. Today, October 8th, 2014, gold opened at $12,1880. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $12,6360, $631.80 for a half ounce, or $315.90 for a quarter ounce. That's $12,6360, $631.80, and $315.90.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE.
Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
Welcome back to America Tonight. My pal Jack Heath is, I'll tell you what, he is the master of a few different trades, and especially when it comes to writing really excellent books. One that is going to be made into a movie called Chain of Souls. Right now, you have a chance to be a piece of history. You know how I feel about Kickstarter, and he is linked up to Kickstarter. It is very, very cool. Some of the things that they are offering up. Somebody was asking me the other day, well, what can you do if you're doing a movie? Are you kidding me? There's a ton of things that you can do. So, Jack, as always, thanks for coming on the show. And first of all, let's back it up and let's talk about the movie and how this whole thing happened for people who don't know your story.
Okay, always great to be with you and your listeners. I hope you're well. The first book was Salem Sticks, Rebecca's Rising, and Chain of Souls was the second book in a series. And the third book, Cipher of Evil, is done but won't come out till the end of the year. But as part of the crew that was making American Hustle up in Boston, Massachusetts, when the marathon bombing happened, the terrorist attack, they had to move the set with Bradley Cooper and Christian Bale up to Salem, Massachusetts, which is known as the witch capital of the world, and finished the movie there, ironically. And it was there that one of their producers heard about my books, and I got contacted and met with them. And Michael DeRocher bought the film rights, so I've been working on the film Chain of Souls for about 10 or 11 months now. The script, the business plan, the marketing plan, distributor agreements, and the Kickstarter campaign was my publisher's idea. Sherry Wicklasky, who came up with the idea of creating some grassroots to show the Hollywood folks that, you know, let's make this movie in New England and there's support behind it. So we've been having some fun with it.
Yeah, so when you sit there and you brainstorm, you think, okay, somebody donates X amount of money, they get this. The highest amount, the biggest chunk that you give is a really cool thing if somebody jumps on that. And, you know, basically, you're practically in the movie. So tell us, like, just give us two morsels. Give us on each end of the spectrum.
Well, you know, $10 or something low, I forget, but, you know, gives you a T-shirt, maybe a beer or a coffee mug with the Salem Sticks logo. $300 will get you a tour of Salem with me, and I grew up down there, and I'm a descendant of both sides of the witch trials, so you can go see the House of Seven Gables, Salem Witch Museum for a couple hours, and show you around where I grew up. And $10,000 gets someone basically a day or two on the set with Michael DeRocher and the crew when they're actually filming, signed copy of the script. So, you know, some fun there, and we even got Donald Trump to tweet about it on Monday, so it's been fun.
Yeah, how did the Donald Trump thing happen? That's pretty cool. Usually you have to know somebody or, you know, whatever, but it doesn't matter. The fact that he tweeted out, he has a gazillion followers.
I just said to his assistant that I know Kate Delaney of America Tonight, and they said, okay, done deal. No, he's flirting with possibly running in 2016 in the presidential primary, and he's coming up to speak in New Hampshire in a couple weeks for a dinner, and there was an article Monday on the front page of our newspaper up here, the New Hampshire Union Leader, about the Kickstarter campaign, and unbeknownst to us, myself or the publisher, the columnist, went on to the Kickstarter campaign and pledged $25 and wrote about it. So then he saw the article, and then he tweeted about the article and the movie and the project, so it was kind of funny.
Neat. And in the meantime, you have something else going on, like the third book. When is that third book coming out?
Yeah. Well, the third book's the longest in the series. I think it's 300 and, well, the manuscript is 300 and about 30 pages. I think it's the neatest of the three because it ties in a lot of history with Salem and the maritime shipping trade history. Most likely the end of the year, and the publisher wants to time it to the release or the production of the third movie. So probably in 2015, I'm guessing end of the year or spring, but the book's written and it's being edited as we speak.
Yeah, and you get great reaction from these books. Did you ever think that you would, you know, become this writer? I mean, you know, you have the power of the mic now and you've done sports and talk and all of that. And now you seg into, while you're still doing it, by the way, this whole writing career. It's got to be really kind of gratifying, I would think.
No, you know, it's kind of still, Kate, in all due respect, because you've written, I have somewhere still, it was on my bedstand for a while, and you know, everyone, you can tell a lot about people about their books, but your book about sports, and you wrote about tennis and different, you know, different parts of our society about sports and golf and hockey and your Kate Delaney sports stuff, you know, we're kind of alike, and we're not even related. I mean, the writing to me is still new. I realize when I meet other authors, it takes years to get a book out, and I'm blessed with that. But to me, it's like I'm through the pain of, you know, getting the three books done. So now I'm kind of in the period focusing on the movie, and it's a lot of fun because, you know, I hate to say it now, it gets easier because they assign a ghostwriter to you and you can kind of more create the story. But I really do enjoy creating a character, creating characters, creating something that's like a baby. Painful. I'm not going to presume to know what that's like, but you know, I'm still exploring. I'm still trying to get used to it. I'm just having fun and really excited because I think the movie, if you look at last weekend, you know, Gone Girl, Ben Affleck's movie did really well. The second one was this Annabelle, which is a horror movie about a doll, and it made, I think, $41 million in America and $318 million worldwide, and frankly, I think our story is better. Tying into the Salem witch trials to the modern day. So Chain of Souls and the whole Kickstarter thing is a lot of fun.
Yeah, witches are hot right now, aren't they?
Well, earlier tonight, I promised her I'd say this because I was on your show. I went down for a meeting in Salem about the books, and I got to meet with Lori Bruno, who's the senior witch in Salem, Mass. They have a colony of witches to this day. There's 12 or 15 of them. Lori Cabot, Lori Bruno. Lori Bruno is a sweetheart. She's great. I sat with her for about a half hour, and she had all these premonitions about the movie and books. So, yeah, you know, it is hot. Salem is mob between now and Halloween. If you go down there this weekend, you'll be lucky to get a parking space in Salem, Massachusetts. It's still the witch capital of the world, where the witch trials happened in 1692, and one of my ancestors, unfortunately, was you know, hanged as a accused witch. And of course, Rebecca Nurse was not a witch, but that's another story. So yeah, I mean, the whole witch thing is fascinating. And you know, who's to say there's not a lot to this? I mean, I'm kind of like still open-minded. But there's still, if you go to Salem, Mass today, 321 years later, there's still a colony of witches.
Yeah. Well, how wild is that? Hey, I'd be remiss not to ask you about this because you talked about Donald Trump. 2016, I think, is going to be pretty darn exciting. And you're going to be at the epicenter of it because, really, that's where the road starts. You could argue about Iowa and whatnot, but there's no question up in your neck of the woods, that's where people are testing the water. And you mentioned Donald Trump, and you know, it seems like it's almost a done deal that Hillary Clinton is going to be the Democratic nominee. I'd be stunned if she wasn't the nominee, by the way, but we'll see. And then there's all this conversation. If it is her, I was talking to somebody pretty high up in the Republican Party the other day who said, don't attribute it to me, but they're actually having conversations about, well, we got to have a woman somewhere on this ticket. If it's definitely Hillary and they think it is, do you think the Republicans will put up, if not a woman as the presidential nominee, I guess, and they've already done this before, but as a VP, as, you know, the VP on the ticket?
Well, a lot of things you touched upon. First of all, real quickly, Hillary's coming up here because in the November 4th election, we have this big Senate race with Democrat incumbent Senator Jean Shaheen and Scott Brown. She's coming up with Bill Clinton the weekend before the primary. Hillary's popular up here. Bill Clinton, this is the state that made him the comeback kid where I live, New Hampshire. People forget he finished second to the late Paul Tsongas. He loves New Hampshire. But the interesting thing is, do they come up and campaign for Democrats and criticize President Obama? Or, you know, so they're in a tough spot here. You know, Hillary Clinton is a very smart, articulate. I've interviewed her. She's a formidable force up here. She won the primary the year that President Obama, you know, won the election. But can she kind of pull herself away from the year she served in the Obama administrations when things like Syria and all these hot spots are happening? And then on the Republican side, you're going to have I'd say 8, maybe 10, and the slate's going to range from Rand Paul to maybe Donald Trump to Chris Christie to, you know, maybe even a Governor Pence. You know, you look at the field of Marco Rubio, you know, it's going to be an interesting period up here and for the country, and who knows where it's going to wind up. I mean, Hillary Clinton certainly is a formidable force, but I could make an argument where I'm not sure she's the one. You look at Governor O'Malley of Maryland. It's going to be an interesting process, and it's going to start early.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Jack, if somebody wants to check you out on Kickstarter, how do they do it?
Real easily. When you go to Kickstarter, kickstarter.com, up top it says search project. Just put in Chain of Souls, and you can go from a buck up to 10,000. And we're trying to show Hollywood that this movie needs to get made in New England soon. So I appreciate it, Kate. You're the best. Maybe we'll make you a correspondent during the presidential primary.
Woohoo! I like that. Jack Heath, always fun to chat with you. Thank you so much, and good luck with everything you're doing.
Thanks. Good night, Kate. Happy
Bye-bye.
Halloween.
You too.
At 30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in 4 delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, 6 vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day, take them camping, or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
You're listening to GCN, proudly sponsored by UnseenNow.com. Lock down your digital life at UnseenNow.com. This is GCN.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
We'll do that in just a second here on ATN. But a quick reminder, yes, indeed, we do that Nail the Score thing. I'm starting to get a lot of questions about when is Nail the Score? I really want to play. I don't like football, but I love the idea of winning a prize from you. Or I've gotten also from people, I love football. I'm not so sure I'm great at guessing the games. But, hey, I'm willing to take a spin. So, bravo, you're responding, but you keep forgetting when it is. I understand we moved it around over the years. So, we do the Nail the Score thing on our Wednesday into Thursday show. It's Wednesday for some of you, and you know how we have different time zones in the United States. And for a lot of you, it is actually into Thursday, into the wee hours, the second hour. That's the key thing you need to know, the second hour of that show. In the last segment is when we do Nail the Score. And the computer randomly picks the game of the week. you pick a side. It can be any side. Doesn't matter. Whatever game it is that we're talking about. This week it was Seattle Seahawks and the Cowboys, for example, and I said the Seahawks would win 38-21. Nathan, who knows everything about football, says Seahawks 32-27.
Everything.
Everything. Crazy Jack in Australia. In Australia, Kate, where the water is spinning backwards, he says Seattle 40-13. And Sharon B., who listens to us in the great state of Maine, baby. Right now it's beautiful there in New England where the leaves are turning. I just talked to someone today who had been to Vermont, New Hampshire, and to Portland, Maine. So Seattle over Dallas, she said, and she weighed in through the miracle of the Internet, Al Gore's Internet, and she said 42-31, and she got that in. Sharon did in the nick of time. She got it in right when we announced it, so, of course, it counts. So the key thing is you just jump on it right away, no sweat. Send us the email, send us a note on Pal Talk, or call the show, and that's it. No further explanation required. On that note, let's head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Thank you very much. Okay, so our first one comes from Pat, who says, Kate, dig the show. Haven't had time on the fly to send you an email or give you a ring. Promise, if I ever meet you, I'll bring the bling. What is this, haiku? But I am worried about Ebola. You should be too. I think it's a bunch of baloney what the doctors say to do. Wow. Okay. So I think that they're some of the doctors, depends on who we're talking about. If we're talking about the World Health Organization, I mentioned that if I were in charge behind closed doors, I am on it. I am prepping for every scenario I want to know. We're not going to pretend and we're not going to take it as it comes. We're going to say, what's the worst outcome possible? What do we do then? What are we doing as far as experimental drugs? What do we know? Who do we know? Who are we contacting? Who are the point people in all of these areas in the world, etc. And the same thing with the CDC. Now, I talked about the AIDS epidemic, and the CDC director compared Ebola, the outbreak of Ebola, to the AIDS epidemic. And I think there's a reason. He says it for different reasons. His reasons for the AIDS epidemic is that there was hysteria, and people thought that we were all going to get AIDS. You know, some people just went off the deep end and thought, well, we don't know much about this. This is frightening. We're going to get it. I think you can compare to the AIDS epidemic because people who are innocents, who should have never lost their lives, frankly, to AIDS because we knew so little about it, died because of encounters that it was just an odd thing. Bad blood that they were given in transfusions, a encounter with someone they didn't realize who was infected with AIDS, somebody who, young girl who went to a dentist. There were a couple of people who got it through doctors. And not expecting a kid, I mean, not even a teenager. So there were some freaky, terrible things that happened to people because little was known about AIDS. And the fight against AIDS was to come up with something to stave it off, to do something about it. So, yes, there is fear that is gripping Ebola, the whole Ebola thing, especially. You know, and I got to say this. Here's my biggest fear of this whole Ebola thing, honestly. Okay, so we're missing the boat on the let's stop the West African flights from coming in. And instead, we're going to have these five setup stations in these airports. And I hope to goodness that works, of course. Then you look at the South and the poorest border area. And in the Pentagon, let me tell you, that may be my greatest source. It may be the greatest source I've cultivated in my career. They are very concerned, whether they're saying it publicly or not, about the southern border. Because what happens, and we've seen like chikungunya and other things have come from the Caribbean. A lot of people travel to the Caribbean. And then you have people coming from South America and the Caribbean, by the way, who are coming, who are stampeding across the Rio Grande to get away from Ebola. Because remember, you know, like I was in Grenada in February And I felt safe, and I was with people who were ministers in the country and all of that, and was on the St. George's campus. But let me tell you, those doctors scared me in the conversations I had with them when they were talking very blatantly about things that were happening and things that were coming up and why, as doctors and scientists, one was even up for a Nobel Prize, why they were concerned, just to tell you their pedigree, meaning that this was their livelihood, and they could care less about the awards. They cared about, like, making sure people realized how serious some things were. And we talked about Ebola and the crisis and what that would mean if it surfaces in Central America or the Caribbean. And they're trying to run away from it. People are trying to get away from it. Do you blame them? They're trying to get away from the disease, especially if they have friends and family in the United States, because we have better medicine. So, yeah, I don't want to be in my little village where I can't get treatment. Are you kidding? I have a family. I have two young girls or whatever it is. I'm going to get out of here. And then what happens along those borderlines? And the Pentagon is very, very, very worried about that, my friends. Grim de la Grim is with us now. Hello, how are you?
I'm just fine, Kate. You know, after we got off the line talking about that Ebola, I turned on the TV to public broadcasting, and Nova was broadcasting Ebola, the current conditions, this current outbreak.
I saw that they did a special, like it was like an hour or something. It was a whole thing on Ebola. Yeah, yeah, I saw
and,
it.
Mm-hmm. And if everybody out there wants to know what to be worried about, just watch how that epidemic, this particular one, started. And
yeah, it's terrible.
It'll keep you well informed. And you can also catch, you know, the in-between lines about, well, we ain't got a cure type, you know, scenario, because that's basically how they end the program. They got vaccines and whatnot, you know, like they treated the doctor with. And then they talked about a professor out in Arizona that's developing that same vaccine, you know, on tobacco plants. So I guess, you know, the elite are going to be protected. I don't know about you and I.
No kidding.
Yeah. But I enjoyed the other guy that was on the air. I've been trying to write a book for 5 years. I titled it, I'm Already Dead. Yeah, I'm trying to write a book in playwright format, which is, you know, very difficult.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you know what the key is to writing? It is doing it. Even if you just sit down, you get writer's block, because I'm in the middle of two books. I've already got one out. Is that you sit down and you devote, even if it's just 20 minutes a day, that's 20 minutes a day that you didn't do the day before and the day before that. And the more you start to write, Grim de la Grim, the more all your cool ideas, they start to really flow.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's reflection. Well, that's what I do. It's reflection, but it's autobiography, and it just goes, you know, through my history. Now, I am going to leave you. I know I'm kind of late on the picks, but, you know, I kind of like the Cowboys for this one, 31 in Seattle, 21. But
31-21, the Cowboys. All right. Now, remember, Grim, next week, call us at the right time, then we can put you in there. But not too many people pick the Cowboys, Grim, for that. A lot of people pick Seattle. That's the obvious pick. But also, too, because they're such a home favorite. And that crowd is crazy wild. Doesn't mean they can't lose. It's nothing, you know. It's the old saying, the old cliche on any given Sunday, because I certainly don't have a crystal ball. And I don't think any of you have a crystal ball. But if I was going to pick a game, I'd probably, for sure, look at that one to think, yeah, this has the... They should win this. What the final score will be, you know, that's a different story. That's why we call it nail the score, because it seems like it would be so easy to do. But it's not easy to do, because you're trying to, it's like keno. If you have ever gone to Las Vegas or someplace and you circle, you know, like you're doing the bingo, you're sitting there eating your sandwich, you're circling the numbers, and you're hoping those numbers come up. So... we didn't get too many of those emails. Have no fear. Each and every show, we go to the mailbag. If you sent me something, We will get to it. If you have any thoughts on the show or some other cool piece of history or information you want to pass on, do it. AmericaTonight.net.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terriganics. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TERRAGANIX.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganics. Life's getting better.
We're looking for help, but we're also working with them to help them help themselves, too, because they're also concerned about the threat that ISIL poses. So this isn't a situation where anyone's doing a favor to the United States. We are trying to assist these different communities in fighting back against this threat.
It wouldn't be a week in America if we weren't talking about ISIS in some sense of the word and what's the latest thing that's happening there. And of course, the frightening part of all of the journey on this path is, one, what we've got invested now in this, and we continue down that road in Syria and Iraq, obviously, but also the fact of these homegrown thugs. And nothing worse than that, right? Oh, I love you, America, but bye-bye. See ya. I'm ready to jump in with these guys in black that will cut people's heads off. And I'll tell you, I mean, I just don't get it. I don't. I don't care how disenfranchised someone is. They're taking advantage, but we know this is similar to Al-Qaeda. Sure, I'm the lead. I'm the lead domino, and I'll come on and I'll talk about the ways, and I'll use the religious rhetoric and throw that out there and say how horrible the United States is and the UK and the West and blah, blah, blah. And then I'll get people that are ripe for that kind of thing who are morally bankrupt to abandon their country and to come over and try to play in that game. And unfortunately, it's such a losing mentality, and it's bad in so many different ways, and it's so awful, I'm sure, for the families, like the kid in Chicago, for the families of those people who have become those lone wolf terrorists that Leon Panetta, when he was the Secretary of the Defense, warned about, and that we've heard about so often. Anyone tied to security agrees that this is the scary threat that is hard to combat, because you're not sure where they're coming from. You're not really sure. You know that it's somebody that I described as disenfranchised, upset at something. It could just be something that has nothing to do with, per se, the politics in the United States. So it's a mystery, and it's tough to put a clamp on that, to put a muzzle on that when you don't have the leads. That's why that intelligence is so, 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 so key. And stopping the kid in Chicago was a very big win. It was a big win from the point of view that they had the information, it turned out to be right, and they were able to stop him instead of having him leave the United States and join up. You know, in Homeland Security, they're saying that it's not true, by the way, that ISIS has crossed into the United States. They're worried about the lone wolves, as I described, but as far as actually coming into the U.S., where we worry about Ebola and people coming from South America and the Caribbean trying to flee it because they see that it can spread, and they're concerned about what's going to happen there. Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson said that's one thing that he won't abide by. He's saying the suggestion that the fighters have crossed the line is not true, that we don't need to create fear and anxiety in the public by speculating on that. Not rumors, when we haven't had that at all. Here's what happened. Congressman Duncan Hunter, a Republican from California, said that he'd learned from Border Patrol officers that at least 10 ISIS fighters have been caught trying to cross the Mexican border. Now, we have heard that. We've heard that from a couple of different sources. And he's saying, you know, there's going to be dozens more that didn't get caught by the Border Patrol. He says, Jay Johnson says, that the claims aren't supported by credible, specific intelligence, and that we have to be responsible if we're going to share information to the with the American public. Certainly on talk shows, which is opinion-based, and guests and my own opinions and own sources, it's a different thing. Of course, the government doesn't want any of that, doesn't want anybody speculating about it. But he's saying to have a congressperson that's spouting off information with no backing is ridiculous. But the congressman says he is conveying what he knows and what he was told. And as for the Department of Homeland Security, it makes sense that the left hand of the Department of Homeland Security doesn't know what the right hand is doing. It's been that way for a long time, and we don't expect that to change. And, you know, that's true. How much faith do you have in Homeland Security, specifically when we're talking about the border and the border crossings? Because, you know, if it's your job, you don't want to hear people telling you that people are getting through with Ebola, that people are getting through who are ISIS fighters, whether it's 2 or 200. You know, of course, you don't want to hear that. I mean, I think you got to be suspicious, and I think you got to be wary of who is coming across the border, of course, because they're looking through intel, and they're trying to narrow that down. I mean, if my goal is to get to the United States, I've got to find a crevice. I have to find a way to get in. What is going to be that way to get in? Well, you know what it used to be? Student visas. Now they've gotten smarter about that, although it's not 100% effective. The student visas aren't quite as easy to get as they were. I'm saying not quite as easy because still you can get a student visa, and then what would happen is it would expire. And how many Saudis on those planes on 9/11 had student visas, and that was the connection to get into the United States. Another thing that happened that's worth taking up here at the tail end of the show is a story that a lot of people were also talking about this casket that was exhumed. For 90 years, a casket was laying beneath the earth. Thomas Curry's family thought the teen who died too young rested in peace. You know, the whole rest in peace thing. He was part of a school for boys, which is now an infamous juvie place that closed for budgetary reasons. And for 111 years, though, it was open. And now all these stories are coming out about unbelievable brutality. From 1900 to 1952, 100 boys died. Only half were buried on the Reform Institute's grounds. Others were shipped to their families. So this Curry guy, Tom Curry, was 17. He became part of the numbers in 1925 when he died under crazy circumstances. They didn't really say. And now there's a court order that permitted exhuming him. And the coroner at the time ruled that the manner of the death was unknown. But here's the crazy part. They started this investigation way back in 2008, his family, that his death certificate was found in a different place and said he died of a crushed skull from an unknown cause. And he was returned in a casket to his family, who buried him in Philadelphia, or so they thought. They said they heard that he was killed by a train. No one had known the other part of this. So how wild is this? So you have a lot of anthropologists who have been working to unearth the remains and try to figure out this mystery. And they're saying that what they're finding is in the casket, they learned that Curry wasn't in that one casket. No bones, no clothing, no signs of him. Woods, layers of pieces of woods, of wood is what they found. It was completely filled with wooden planks. So they sent this casket. How creepy is that from this all-boys school? They sent this casket to Philadelphia to his family, and he wasn't in it. They never opened it. They thought it was a closed casket. It was wooden planks. That's it. So they thought he was buried. And no, that wasn't it. In fact, they found his great-grandparents beneath the wood-filled casket. So this is, they can't believe it. The family can't believe it. I mean, you're talking about nine decades ago. And there are a lot of people that are chipping in to try to unravel the mystery, but they think they have found him in Florida. And it was just one of those cover-up situations. Wow. Isn't that crazy? How wild would that be? They exhume the body, and all they find is wooden planks. Thanks for listening to this hour of America Tonight.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturing manufacturers. If you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.